Welcome, listeners, to a very special Hot Off the E3 Presses episode of the Nerds Travaganza podcast, episode 56, tentatively entitled, We Just Got Done Watching E3 Coverage and We Want to Talk to You About It.
That's a little long.
Yeah, we'll condense that. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And we're here to talk to you about E3. No Weekly Geekly, no witty intro. Holy crap, I think we all have a lot to talk about with our initial impressions. And let's just jump into it. The first question I wanted to ask you guys all day is, what did you think of this unveiling of a new generation of consoles versus previous unveilings?
I've never been excited before. This one I was pretty excited about.
I've been soured on video gaming a little bit lately, just because nothing's late and great and too super new. This is really exciting to me. I like watching them slug it out.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. When the 360 launched, and then after that the PS3 and the Wii, I was just kind of like, new consoles, but I just wasn't into it. I'm really into this. I'm into the battle, and I'm into like what looks like a really awesome initial offering of games. It's not like we're getting like, what was the shit fest we got with the 360, like Cameo and other forgettable games like that?
It must be forgettable because I can't think of a single one.
Yeah,
I mean, I had completely forgotten about Cameo.
I think Oblivion came out then for the consoles. That was cool. That was a nice release title, but that was already a PC game by the time it came out. So yeah, a really strong lineup. And the digs that Sony took against Microsoft were fantastic as far as the battle goes.
A lot.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that there would be some swiping going on, and it definitely happened.
It definitely happened on the Sony side, not so much on the Microsoft side.
Yeah, well, because Microsoft, like...
They don't have anything.
Right, they came in all, like, you know... They come in full, like with full blown hubris, like we're the king of the roost. Here's the way it's going to be from now on. No used games, and you better log on and call back to, you know, MCP. Or
okay, the no used games is still undefined.
True.
I am the cheapest fucking gamer on earth. Every single game I own is used, unless I bought it as a digital download, which those are cheap XBLA games. But do I still think it's a fuck up on their part? Yes, absolutely, 100%. The fact that they're not defending it except for saying, well, basically, we're just leaving that up to the developers and the publishers to decide. That's kind of a fucking flake out answer that I don't like.
Yeah.
But it all is based around this having to check in every 24 hours, which that I don't like, because that's part of what's causing all these other problems. And one of the greatest little digs, and I hate that I like it, but I have to like it because it's indefensible. You can't, even as a Xbox fanboy, I cannot defend it. That checking in shit's bullshit, and the ambiguous rules on used games is bullshit.
Yes.
And the one that Sony threw out right at the end, with Sony PS4, you get true consumer ownership, and we have complete consumer trust.
Yes, yes, yes. I wrote that down, too. That was great.
It was a double fuck you, man. I hate it, but I have to agree.
I mean, the fact that there's even doubts surrounding a used games policy is in itself indicative of a major fuck up on Microsoft's part. I'm sorry.
With it being launched in November and it's not answered yet.
Yeah.
Screams bullshit. Screams bullshit to me.
We're trying to find ways to basically F you guys over, but we haven't quite formulated the way we're going to go about that yet. So we'll get back to you. That's what it feels like.
But it's really, it's kind of not them, because they're not getting a licensing fee from it. They're not getting anything from the developers or the publishers for it. They're just leaving it into somebody else's hands. They're basically saying, hey, we're changing the way our system works because we want to have better control with this, you know, Big Brother 1984 check-in shit all the time. And we're going to leave it up to everybody else to figure out how they're going to work around it. And I've also heard it thrown around like, well, publishers and developers and everybody, they're crying, we're losing money because of used games, so we're stepping up to the plate and moving into a new direction, and hopefully everyone else will follow. So, well, I don't know. Altogether, it's been an annoying thorn in my side that I wish would go away, because with that in place, the ambiguous decisions of used games and this checking in fucking 24 hours or you can't play your games is a sticking a huge thorn in my fanboy side. I can't deny it.
Yeah. And I think when the guys at Microsoft say, well, we're doing this at the behest of publishers, a friend of mine that I, and Brian, I think you might have been in the group text exchange all day, made a really good point. PS4 was a little light on exclusives, meaning that the publishers might be favoring Microsoft a little bit,
right?
Because they would like this policy. But from the raucous applause that Sony received, I don't think that the consumers are necessarily on board with that restriction.
Yeah, I think when Xbox has like 100,000 pre-sales as opposed to a couple of million, publishers will start throwing exclusives Sony's way.
Yeah, if certain publishers like sign up with or favor Microsoft because they like the controlling the downstream or whatever you want to call it, when it comes to used games or borrowing or whatever, that's just going to leave room on Sony's platform for other people to come in and fill that void. So I don't see that necessarily working in Microsoft's favor, I guess.
Yeah, this seems like a time. This could be a weird shift, man. Not just in who's on top, but in what we're seeing. Like, if all the big names in publishing and development decide, like, well, this is badass. We can charge now for used games, and we're making the money because we don't have to pay Xbox for a second licensing or a renewal or any of that. It's all on the publishers and developers and whatever side of things. Then if all these big studios move over to there, what kind of stuff are we going to be seeing for the PS4? We're going to start seeing some really innovative indie new shit.
Yeah, I definitely get the – not only are they not as restricted for the consumer, but they definitely were playing up the fact that, hey, we're the new indie platform.
Dude, I got to say, the indie offerings looked awesome.
They really did. They really did. I caught some really cool gems. I took notes on everyone that I could think of seeing, or that I had time to write down as they were going through it. And some of those looked really, really sick, actually. Oh, one of which I won't go through everyone, but did you guys happen to see Mercenary Kings?
Yes.
It looked like fucking Metal Slug, which is like one of my favorite series.
That one looked awesome. I mean, the one Galaxy Shooter one I wasn't such a big fan of, but every single other one on there is something I would play.
Yeah. They're just really – I mean, they were indie games, but they were pro-looking. It wasn't like some kid just like sat down and, you know, animated some hand drawings. Not that that would be what you would expect, but it had a lot more polish than maybe like what we saw in early like the early Xbox Live independent creator thing. But these, yep.
It is on par with the XBLA stuff, like Super Meat Boy, all, you know, the high end quote unquote independent game companies.
These are independent development houses, not like I can build my own game at home and then publish it, which is what the like XNA stuff was that I even monkeyed around with. So yeah, I really think that that development community of small dev houses has found a very comfortable home on PS4.
I mean, I play more style games like that than I do big franchises. So for me, it was exciting to see, because, you know, I'm not going to lie, like PS3, I'm kind of in the dark, you know, and it's like I go a lot by hearsay or whatever. PS3 soured me. I didn't like the way it looked. I didn't like the way it played. So I've stayed away from it and, you know, jumped on the Xbox bandwagon, the 360 bandwagon. And in my mind, you know, the kind of stuff that's on XBLA doesn't exist anywhere on the PlayStation Network. And I'm probably totally wrong. So for me, it was a definite eye-opener to see these, you know, $10, $15 downloadable type games that I absolutely love and adore, like Limbo and just a ton of shit like that. So in huge caps in my notes, it says indie offerings look fucking awesome. So
yeah, it really
it swayed me a little bit. Not gonna lie.
Now, Do you guys know? It's first of all, it says a lot that it swayed you because you were kind of on board with Microsoft. But do you guys know if Microsoft themselves just didn't really play up independent games, or are there rumors swirling around that they're not going to be very friendly to the indie developer?
I believe they stated fuck independent games.
Well, I think they said fuck independent games as in the XNA type development games. There were offerings, okay. There were offerings of indie game house, you know, on the level like Bastion, all this, the awesome stuff that we've been seeing in XBLA, the big companies, the stuff that sells for actual money. You know, not the you know, tinkering.
No self-publishing, period.
They still haven't said anything. I'm still of the mindset that the self-publishing is going to be rolled into a new Windows 8 / Xbox One App Center. That's my Ganza prediction, and we all know how Ganza predictions go.
Yes, I think you've just set the course of the future by predicting that. Because everything we say comes true.
Did you notice when they were talking about one of the highlights of the Xbox presentation, the Project Spark? The content that they were showing that was user-created was Windows 8 / Xbox One created. And I said this way back. This isn't a new prediction. This is just a second-time prediction. So I think that's where it's headed, man, because they've been awfully quiet about it.
I think you're not necessarily off the mark on that one, Rick. That's a pretty interesting observation, or pretty interesting prediction you're making.
Huh. So can we talk about that game for a second?
Actually, yeah. I that's a perfect segue into talking about the games, and I do want to talk about that game in particular. Go ahead. Did you have some things in mind?
If anybody who's listened to the show a number of times has heard me and Grant babble on endlessly about Click and Play, and we have a next-gen version of Click and Play. And I want an Xbox One for this title specifically.
Yeah, that... There were a shitload of like what you would classically consider like blockbuster games in various genres that were like system sellers in and of themselves. But that game completely caught my attention, and I'm like, wow, what am I looking at here? And then remember, Rick, I was messaging you online, like trying to describe it. The concept of like having these objects and imbuing them with like behavior and stuff, it's amazing. And
so it's basically, explain what it is. It's a sandbox style game where you can create environments, develop behaviors, and either predefined behaviors, or you can write code for them and borrow assets from the community and basically build your own games. The only thing I don't like that we didn't see is, can you insert your own graphics?
I wonder about that. Where would those... So those would those be locally hosted textures that would get like applied to? I don't know. How would you even, technically? I'm just kind of wondering how you would do that. But that's a interesting question, Rick.
I mean, upload stored in the cloud. Let's just go with that.
Actually, okay, yeah. So if you
because where are we downloading other people's code and behaviors for inanimate objects and stuff?
Those are certainly hosted remotely, and then you're pulling them down. So if you had a sort of in-game authoring tool where you could give appearance characteristics to certain objects you created, I guess it wouldn't be a big deal to have that downloadable, because you'd have all the texture stuff locally on your machine anyway, right? So
right. I mean, the fact what they created in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes was fucking impressive.
Dude, it was really cool. And I'm so excited. I just said dude, and I haven't said that in years. I've kind of got a personal story about that game. I'm sitting here completely intrigued by this the whole time, like going back and like trying to learn more about it while the rest of the show's going on. And it turns out I actually know someone who is on the team responsible for that. I'm not sure in what capacity. I'll have to ask her. But last night, her boyfriend posts on Facebook like, oh, I'm down in, you know, L.A. with my girlfriend. You're waiting for her big game reveal. And I'm like, oh, what is it? Oh, can't tell you. Ask me tomorrow. Well, after I'm blissing out about this game, he comes back on. He's like, oh, by the way, it's this game. And it was, and that was it. It was.
Holy it's the shit. One where,
yeah.
Well, maybe we have a future guest lined up, because I definitely would, if she has something to bring to the table on that game, man, I would love to have her on as a guest. If we could arrange that.
I'll see what I can do. She's a both of them seem pretty busy, but I will. At a minimum, I want to like hammer her with a million questions that I have.
I mean, it doesn't have to be anytime soon, obviously, but yeah, that would be fantastic.
Okay. All right. Well.
Okay. Since
I'll
we're
see
on
what magic, I can work.
Since we're on a good spot, I'm gonna bullet point a couple things that I am excited with the Xbox One presentation. First of all, I love that everything was green and black. That's just me. Well, actually, it's not me, because Tom loved it too.
Yeah, that was like the first thing I said. I was like, holy shit, I wish I was there because it's so green.
I love the continued efforted. They're making an effort to support the 360. I love that. Tons of new games, new capabilities for gold members. All kinds of good stuff. It warmed the cockles of my heart that I do not have to give up my little R2 unit for a couple more years.
Yeah, it's good. They're doing a much better job sunsetting the 360 than they did. And Brian, I think you might be able to attest to this, the original Xbox, which they were just kind of like, and dead. Goodbye. That's how I recall it going down.
I'm very curious what is going to happen with their one machine thing if they continue to support Xbox 360. Will you be able to play it through that?
You mean you mean classic titles?
No, will you be able to like actually daisy chain your system through a one?
Huh. Oh, your 360 through a one?
Yeah.
I get it. Doesn't it have like HDMI pass-throughs or some such thing?
I think that'd be a neat little level. Like if you could do all of the things with the grabbing and the changing and going home and everything on that too.
Oh, you mean if you control pass through from the one to the 360. So your 360 sits there as like a headless box attached to your one, and then you control it through the one. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
Yeah, kind of.
Dude, and then the 360 could live forever. That would be fucking awesome. You could use that same, like it'll do like a bypass login. Verify your system. Oh my god, that would be beautiful. The 360.
Why couldn't you just USB them together or whatever? And
right,
share the
right,
login and...
right. I love so, this. I love
so
this.
The one continues to be the life support system for your 360 for the sake of posterity. That's
see, because me and Tom were talking about this. Almost everything I play is a downloaded game. But even though it's a downloaded game, I can't play it unless I log in to live. So once those live servers are done, I'm screwed.
Big complaint.
So they got to figure, hopefully over the rest of its life, they figure that out. If they figure that out and there's a way that sometime in the future, much like I can pull out my Atari 2600, my ColecoVision, my you name it, and I can still play them, I better be able to play my fucking 360. Because if I can't, that just seems like wrong.
That's interesting, and you can take the wrongness you feel there and extrapolate from that to see. So in 5 years, you want to fire up a game you downloaded from Xbox Live and play it. Well, you can't because the servers that would have responded to the auth request or whatever are no longer online, right?
Right. Even though all the game content and everything is on my console, I understand. If I can't play multiplayer, fine, I get it.
But at
I
least
still
let me
be
play.
Able to play it.
Well, interesting that you should bring that up, because, well, one, they could keep legacy auth servers online for some time, I guess, if it didn't cost them or hurt anything. I'm sure they would eventually sunset those. But, okay, that could be, at least in the near future, something that could continue. But it brings up an interesting parallel. If you're already concerned about that happening with your downloadable games 5 or 6 or 10 years down the road,
yes, I know where you're going.
Think of how outraged you're going to be when your brand new title is unplayable because somebody hacked Xbox Live and it's been down for a week. Your system is a brick.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Even with a disc, you can't play the Xbox One.
Right.
It's simply there to download it to the hard drive.
Like, you call Microsoft, be like, no, this is the credit card I used to buy the disc. I promise I own it. Like, MasterCard will confirm that I bought this. Nope.
Well, why don't they do... Well, I guess because it would still have to check in. They should have a built-in little loop from the Kinect to the system, and it, like, scans your eyeball... And then, like, you hold up your credit card or some shit. It's got a swiper on the side.
Don't give him any fucking ideas.
Okay, look, we realize that you're pissed off about this online off stuff. So here we go. We've got biometric scanners now available as the new ultra intrusive bundle. It's got a fingerprint scanner. It scans your retina and it takes blood.
It's got a rectal scanner.
It's got a sofa mounted rectal scanner. It confirms you're you, and then you can play offline for 48 hours.
Okay, so much for my quick bullet point. So we touched on the love of the 360 support. So far, I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's good. It's and I will say Sony, they talked up a lot of their PS3 offerings too. So it doesn't seem like you're, at least for the next year, maybe two, you're gonna have necessarily a completely obsolete system on your hands.
They did say years, so I'm expecting a minimum of two.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna see widespread adoption of these. Right. Rather expensive system, especially in the case of the Xbox One, expensive systems.
Okay, I do find it a little bit ridiculous. Why did they bother to redesign the Xbox 360 to be an Xbox One lookalike? It's ridiculous.
So you can daisy chain it and they won't clash.
Brian has it. That's it. It's so that you can just stack them nicely. They probably stack together or something. And
dude,
then...
I swear to fucking God, if that's the case, they will get my money. Damn it! Now I'm buying two new systems, one of which I've already have three of. Damn it!
Remember, like, for the old, I forgot how, well, I know for the Sega Genesis, there was the Sega Master System, like, bolt-on that you just put into the cartridge slot, then you could play Master System games on the Sega Genesis. Yeah. Well, likewise, back in the Atari era, there were similar, like, I know for Coleco, there was an adapter you could plug in, and then you could pop in Atari games.
Yeah,
2600 games, exactly. That's what Brian's getting at. It's going to be like the new Slimline 360 is going to be that function, going to serve that purpose going forward.
Dude, that's not a bad idea.
You heard it here.
They tell us that already.
Well, they haven't heard our podcast
because they don't want you knowing that you have to spend $900 to have that new set top.
Well, they did say. I mean, I wouldn't buy a new one because I don't care if they clash, because R2 is classic.
R2 is awesome, yeah.
And it actually is cooler that R2 is attached to it. But then if they come out with the Xbox One that looks like an X-Wing, and then you hook up your R2 unit to be the slave, now we're talking. Now we're talking bullshit, but now we're talking.
So then you're $900 in hardware deep so that you can play fucking Geometry Wars and that farming sim game.
Whatever, but I've already got the Xboxes, so what I'm saying is I wouldn't care if it looked different, and we already know that there's no new hardware in the new ones. I'm just trying to clear it up for the listeners.
But again,
it would be somebody like Tom. I could see he wants his new to match the old, so it's seamless, and I get that.
And still have the R2, but I'll put him in a display case where he belongs.
Okay. Go ahead.
I just want to say again, you heard it here first. Brian, being prescient as always, he's seen something that nobody else has, and if this comes to pass, we want full credit.
Dude, it's an awesome idea. I hope it does.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Go ahead, Rick.
I love this Upload Studio and Twitch. I like it.
Now, I saw them demoing all of these sort of integration things. Now, the Upload Studios where you could upload triumphant clips and that sort of thing, right? Of you kicking the crap out of...
Right. It's basically iMovie or, you know, Windows Movie Maker on your Xbox.
So, for example, during the demo when they were playing Killer Instinct and the guy made the kind of inappropriate, almost rapey sounding, take it, comment to the chick he was fighting.
Yes.
That is now preserved forever in his Upload Studio.
Yes, and he can grab it off of his game DVR, and he can put it into Upload Studio, edit it, re-record the audio if he wants to. I mean...
He needs to re-record the audio. I respect you. You're a worthy opponent.
And then publish the clip. But you can wrap it in skins and all kinds of really neat little video template kind of stuff. I thought it was really cool.
That is awesome. And I have a question. Now, I didn't catch how they got into that. I saw like somebody kind of watching and then jumping into a match. Is there sort of like a view your friends mode and then pop in when you want? Like,
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I was kind of ranting and raving when I was watching it, and I did lose it a little bit. I'm not sure if it's constantly recording, but I did notice that it popped up and said epic clip. So maybe, you know, it realizes it, like it's game smart, and it will let you I don't know, because they're saying you can record and publish anything to help, you know, tutorials, walkthroughs, all kinds of different stuff. So
maybe those were his personal dressings up.
It's a DVR, isn't it? So it probably records the last hour or 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then dumps it as it goes along.
Oh, it just maintains a buffer, like a circular buffer.
Yeah. And maybe there's a button you can press and it, you know, stores, you know, like flags a clip so you can go back and find it easier. Who knows? But I like the idea of it. I think it's pretty cool. And I like the idea of the Twitch, live streaming gameplay.
I do like that too. So basically you can have a channel, and if anybody wants to see what you're up to.
Mm-hmm. And then it uses your Kinect as the, basically what's used now as the webcam and microphone. You're just using it with your Kinect.
And if you're watching someone's channel, from what I saw, it looked like in more than one instance, you can just like pop in from your tablet. Like if you're stuck at work in a meeting, I was chatting with some people on Skype today about this. And at least one of the games, it was some kind of a shooter game, and somebody like showed up with like a drone and like buffed the party and then like killed some enemies. And like, how badass would that be? You're like stuck at work, your friends are home playing games, you just pop on like with your tablet, like, oh, I got 15 minutes, and you like play with your friends and help them out and then pop back off.
Killer.
That was
sick, awesome.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. So you're watching me. I don't know. Maybe you could be watching their Twitch stream and be like, oh, these guys need my help. And then you jump in real quick.
Yeah.
Be kind of ass kicky if you could do that sort of thing. Brian, did you see any of the demo for the tablet integration on the Xbox One?
I didn't see that on the Xbox One. I actually caught someone playing a tablet during the PlayStation.
Yeah, it's this whole thing. It's like this tablet integration thing. A lot of games were demoing this ability. There were a couple main like buzzword themes, neither of which I thought were necessarily bad. One was open world, and the other was tablet integration. And they both seemed cool.
I feel like Sony is late on the tablet thing, and it seems like they're running behind again, like they did with the PlayStation Network compared to the Xbox Live. Like, they just announced talking about this cloud stuff, like, now. And it's like, well, we're trying to get it up and running. And the guy was, like, fumbling as he's talking about it. And I was like, why are they so late in the game with this?
Well, they are late. They're lagging behind Microsoft when it comes to just online in general. They got Xbox Live came out back in, 2002 or 3 or something like, I think 2003 with the original Xbox. They're still playing catch up. I mean, they're just getting around to a paid subscription plan and cloud store, you know, cloud saves and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're definitely playing catch up.
And how does their tablet thing work? Is it an app or what is it?
Well, so that's the thing. Like you know from Xbox One that it's smart glass, right? That's smart glass, which we were just envisioning was like gadgetware that was going to go away, is now front and center as part of the Xbox One platform. In fact, that was never mentioned as part of Sony's hardware, like, you know, where it's actually built to integrate with your tablet. So I'm curious about that as well.
Okay, so it's not just me missing out on something. It's
kind of
ambiguous already.
During the Xbox One presentation, they flat out said, like, we built the Xbox with smart glass in mind.
Right.
Well, Sony built the PS4 with the Vita in mind, but I don't know how that translates to just generic tablet ABC.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so... Interesting.
A Vita app is in our future.
Ooh, a Vita app for your iPhone or your Android phone or your tablet. I'm getting a tablet, by the way. Now it's settled. I finally have a reason to get a tablet because the $1,000 in gaming hardware I'm spending isn't enough.
All right, Tom. So what did you think about the games, the game offerings for the Xbox.
Okay. Wow, where do I start? Apart from, oh geez, I'm drawing a blank. What were we just talking about 5 minutes ago?
All right, we've got the zombie game, Forza, Spark.
Spark. Okay, apart from that, which blew my mind, there was Titanfall, which was the most badass looking fucking yes. first-person shooter slash mech game I've ever seen. Now, I mean, just that step. So we're stepping away from like the unique, like this is like something I've never seen aspect of Project Spark, and jumping into Titanfall, which was like, holy shit, this isn't something I've never seen, but you've taken two genres and blended them into together into something I could have never imagined.
I was so badass. Blown the fuck away, dude. I'm like standing in my living room cheering, hands in the air, like I'm watching a fucking Super Bowl football game or something. Dude, it was crazy. Dude, yeah. When that fucking guy reaches into the other mech, pulled the guy out, looked at him, and then threw him, I was like, holy shit, dude. Brian, this game is going to be the fucking coolest game that's ever lived in game history, dude. It looks awesome.
Let me describe it for you, Brian. It's a first-person shooter where you're agile, where you're wall jumping and running along walls and fucking shooting and doing all kinds of badass first-person shooter stuff. It's a top-tier first-person shooter, right? Then you get like a radio call from some handler like, your Titan is ready. Let me know when you need that Titan. And like every so often she chimes in like, hey, you want your Titan? Well, your Titan is a fucking mech, right? And once you request that sucker is delivered, you hop in it and you go from playing a very, like a complete first-person shooter to now this like whole second mode where you're in a mech fighting people who are either in mechs or in pilot mode, you know, as first-person shooter people. And it's fast and it's fluid and like it's not like the mechs aren't lumbering, they're like running along and like, oh my god,
dude, you're climbing in and out of the belly of this beast like it's nothing. It's so cool, man.
And it's not like once you're in the mech you're in unstoppable beast mode, because they were showing these fucking badass ways to like go for the weak points on the mechs and try to take them down. Like,
okay, this one guy's mech was getting destroyed. He hits the ejector seat, shoots up out of the ejector seat. Now he's in like first person shooter mode, right? And they have like these rocket belt packs or some shit. And he's like maneuvering. He lands on top of the mech that just kicked his ass, rips this panel open and starts shooting the brains of the mech. And just fuck, dude, it was so killer. You have no idea how sick this was.
It's utterly, it's utterly mind blowing. If Project Spark sold me on the novelty and this is something I can't wait to check out factor, then Titanfall sold me on this is the next gen, like, you know, core game orgasm I've been looking for. It's just amazing. I need a minute.
Do you want to touch on the other games? Because I mean, that really was the showstopper, man. Well, oh, okay. God. What about Snake? Tell us about Snake, Tom.
Oh, well, since you mentioned it, we got ourselves a little preview of a Metal Gear Solid 5, which I always associate for some reason with Sony, the Metal Gear Solid. See, right. It looked pretty cool. He was galloping through the wastes of Afghanistan or some such place and using, like, you know, new stealth modes where he was like riding, like hanging off the side of a horse as he galloped by people and all kinds of cool stuff. It looked good. It looked, in fact, that was the first thing that really caught my attention, and it just looked like another excellent execution on the Metal Gear Solid concept.
Speaking of combining two genres, I thought that was a pretty interesting combination of Shadow of the Colossus and Metal Gear.
Was there a giant explain
the man on a horse against the world?
Yes,
desolate wasteland.
That's a great analogy, Brian, actually.
So is that an exclusive to Xbox or no?
Microsoft have pulled off a major coup. I'm guessing it's cross-plat. I know in generations past that I think PS2 got initial releases of Metal Gear, and then Xbox eventually got its copy. But on the previous on this generation, I think only PS4 got Metal Gear Solid 4. Huh. So I think they're back to cross-platform. That game really looked good, and that's a great series to have in your lineup for sure. Speaking of Star Wars, Battlefront.
I didn't see anything about Battlefront.
It came and went very quickly. Didn't show a whole lot, but it's coming out. It's happening. So.
Which system was that? How did I miss that?
That was for the Xbox One. I'll tell you how you missed it. Your eyes were still friggin' completely dangling by their optic nerves out of your head after watching Titanfall, man.
I thought Titan was the end.
It was the end of me caring about anything else for the most part.
All right, I'm excited about Battlefront.
Yeah, Battlefront. I mean, the two games that we really touched on are so compelling that like it's easy to forget that there's like a whole crowd of like cool games. Battlefront. There's a game called there's a new Need for Speed game, which if you're not into that sort of game might not appeal to you, but it had it did this thing a lot of driving games were claiming to do, which was like blurring the line between single player and playing against the computer and playing against multiple people. because the cops were chasing like the criminal, and they were saying like those cops could be players or they could be unless I'm confusing this with another game, which I don't think I am, or they could be another another player. And then they were showing, I think, some tablet integration with that one where a guy was actually dispatching cops from his tablet. Like he was playing, basically being like the dispatcher.
And this was Xbox or
that was on it. We're still on the Xbox One.
Xbox. Yeah. I watched the 2-hour presentation. I didn't see that.
There was a lot, man.
I watched it from beginning to end. Okay. What about Forza with the, it learns how to drive like you drive.
Yes.
And then, so there's no more, Brian, there's no more AI. Okay. Basically everybody who plays the game, it makes a, Drivatar, is that what they were calling it?
Yes,
stupid
yes.
ass name. But basically, it will record and learn how you drive, and then you become a NPC in somebody else's game when you're offline.
Jesus Christ, that's going to be horrible for anyone who gets my Drivatar.
So
because there's going to need to be a D at the end of yours, right?
But I think, it's also going to algorithmically match driving skills with driving skills or something like that. But the cool thing about that is, like, I'm awesome at driving games until I got to play against real people. Then I suck. So now as I'm learning...
So goodbye driving games.
Well, my skills for the game will adapt to the actions of actual, the mimicry of actual drivers rather than... just pre-programmed AI. So mm-hmm. when I learn the game now, I will actually learn the game. When I learn how to drive that car, I will learn how to drive that car as it happens to be in the real world, not just the AI world. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was that was pretty awesome, leaving aside the fact that the game looked really, really, really incredible.
Yeah, by far blew away... the look of the Drive Club game. In my notes, Drive Club for PS4, it ain't no Forza.
Yeah, I don't think until you get a dedicated Gran Turismo for PS4 that you're going to be able to do an apples-to-apples comparison
on
that.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that was just a return.
But yeah,
that was a return dig at best.
Nah, you're right. Let's see. There were a ton of... Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the final one that I... put down was the Battlefield 4. Look,
yes,
holy shit, that looked crazy.
So Battlefield 4, during EA's sort of segment, they went through NBA, Madden, NFL, FIFA, UFC, all impressive, all had all sorts of cool technical stuff, but I don't like sports games that much, so they didn't really resonate with me. Then they got to Battlefield 4, where it looked awesome. It looked like a lot of cool vehicles were in play, and they showed something called Commander Mode, which I believe was tablet driven, where you kind of had this overview of the battlefield and mm-hmm. were able to render assistance from on high. So again, I think we got some another reason for me to buy a tablet, unless I missed something in the presentation.
No, the whole thing with like them on the boat and just like,
oh yeah,
the way the sound changed and all the physics, I just like the movements, everything, dude, it was just so impressive and graphically phenomenal. Every game I saw was graphically phenomenal. Sadly, I cannot say the same for the PlayStation offerings. To me, a lot of them seemed like current gen graphic style and look.
It's weird. It might have been because I was because I had a lot of like viewing fatigue by the end of the day, but I came away with that same impression. But when we get into the PS4 games, maybe we'll find some exceptions. But my general impression is that the Xbox One had a graphical edge, at least as we saw it. Of course, they also weren't showing as much live gameplay. They were showing a lot of pre-recorded stuff, which definitely shows probably a favorable view of things.
But they did, the Titanfall, we saw good gameplay.
Oh, God, yeah, we really
Battlefield
did.
Battlefield 4, we saw good gameplay.
Yeah, we really did.
We saw good gameplay. We finally saw gameplay for Forza. Saw incredible that, I can't remember the name of that zombie game. Like,
oh, I have it written down.
It's third in the series.
The Plant versus Zombies game?
No.
Let's see. Oh, God. How can
Uprising
I forget this?
Or something like
you're talking about Dead Rising 3.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Badass. Did they have people playing live on stage for the most of the Xbox One, or was it pre-re? Okay, so they did. God, I forgot about Dead Rising 3. See, Brian, there's so much cool shit coming out. Oh, and a new Dragon Age game as well. Dragon Age. Oh, speaking of which, isn't there also a Panzer Dragoon like game coming out?
Yeah, that's the one I thought you were talking about.
No, I was talking about, so they're making a new Dragon Age, which is an RPG series that I know that Brian's familiar with, and then they're also doing what is it called? I think it might have been during Ubisoft's presentation, but they're coming out with like a Panzer Dragoon sort of clone called Crimson Dragon or something. Thought I wrote that down, but perhaps not. We at the Nerd Extravaganza podcast do not accept any responsibility for misinformation given due to our confusion.
Yes, we are way too excited.
Yeah, we're like just basically like slathering like fanboys at this point.
All right, so we kind of talked about a bunch of crap. Now, and then we talked about the games offerings from Xbox. So let's talk about, much like we did with the Xbox, what we liked about the PS3, what we didn't like, and then hit up some of the games in there.
Before we get to that, though, Rick, I do just want to say one last thing on the Xbox One, and that is Titanfall. God, I love that game.
So, can't deny.
It was, yeah. We should get into the discussion of the PS4. Now, I found Ubisoft did the presentation was a little dry, but they had a lot of very cool games. They were kind of a bridge between the consoles because I think a lot of their stuff was multi-platform.
Mm-hmm.
And what was curious to me is, and I guess it's because they maybe didn't have exclusives, Sony seemed to be showing gameplay for a lot of the cross-platform games. So it's like they were, a lot of their presentation was devoted to doing some work for Microsoft by demoing games that are going to be on both platforms.
Agreed.
I'll just mention a couple things on the Ubisoft front, which will segue nicely into the PS4, although not necessarily 100%. What did you think? You were a Splinter Cell fan, were you not?
Me?
Either of you guys? Yeah.
I am 100%.
So what did you think of Splinter Cell Blacklist that Ubisoft...
That's the one that we just saw like a little snippet of a trailer for, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It didn't show huge amounts of gameplay or anything.
Yeah, excited. It looked pretty badass. That was one where I thought the graphics looked newer, exceptionally better.
Yeah. I think that even might, now I'm confused as to what was current gen and what was, well, I know one game that was current gen, Rayman Legends, a game that should have been out on the Wii U like 6 months ago, but it's only now coming out. There's also a cool game called the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot, which looks like kind of a funny, like, build your castle, defend your treasure, and then go raid other people's castle and steal theirs type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And South Park, The Stick of Truth.
A lot of people are talking about that already online.
Well, the highlight of it is the fart called the Nagasaki. You know why it's called the Nagasaki? Because when you do it, it makes people squint and go, oh.
Nice.
It was really funny. And wow. Racist, but also funny. I didn't make up the joke. I'm just passing it along. But yeah, next gen stuff. Do you remember seeing The Crew? The Crew was like an MMO, like a Need for Speed MMO. It was like this game where it's like a MMO racing game where you have a car and you go around doing all these different challenges and leveling up and stuff, but then you can meet with players all over the, you know, from at objective points all over the United States to like do these missions.
Oh, that sounds cool. There's a really game that's out on Xbox now that's like that. It's one of the franchises. I can't remember, so forget I even said anything. Go ahead.
Okay.
But I like the idea, and it seemed like that game, they expanded on it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, another driving game? What is this, Need for Speed? And then I was like, oh, it's like MMO Need for Speed. And it's a giant, like, persistent world, basically, that you can, like, go all around in and do all kinds of cool crap. And again, they mentioned the blurred line between single player, multiplayer, and, you know, AI agents acting as opposed to players. So pretty cool. And then they basically showed players like off like kind of doing their own thing and then getting together in Miami to take down this like rival drug smuggler or whatever it was. So
of course, cool game. Miami, Lamborghinis, and drug smuggling. We see it every day.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very familiar. Then they talked about Watch Dogs. We'll get into that in the PS4 because Sony gave a lot of time to Watch Dogs. Just Dance 2014. Not interested. Raving Rabbids. Are you familiar with any of those games?
I know the game. I've never played it, but I know what it is.
The little rabbits remind me of Gru's little creatures from Despicable Me.
Yes.
Mischievous little critters that they are. Assassin's Creed Black Flag, another cross-plat that Sony showed a lot of gameplay of.
I was disappointed to see that crashing during the demo.
Good point. Don't forget that, because I want to make a counterpoint about that when we get into that. And yeah, that was very whatever. I've definitely got a defense for that one. Trials Fusion and Trials Frontier, never played any of the Trials games. They're like off-road vehicle type games. Not super familiar. And then something I found really interesting, The Division, for both games, or for another cross-platformer. Basically, a pandemic breaks out on Black Friday and the whole world is just falls apart, right? So it's like an indictment of American consumerism. They were like, oh, in America, 70 million people shop. And because they shop, then somebody got sick and then everybody died. And now the world is over and only The Division can save the world. It was a weird, like, America bashing vibe. So, of course, the world is in ruins and all of America's decadent Christmas Christmas decorations are still up. And then this badass gameplay demo commences where basically the players are like trying to go get into this police station to get some weapons. And once again, we've got some tablet integration, because this is the part where a drone shows up and it says Chris with a little icon over it that says tablet, meaning he's tablet based. Chris shows up. Hey guys, what's going on? Yeah, we're okay. He's like healing them and buffing them and stuff while they're in this firefight. And then a few minutes later, he's like, hey guys, I got to pop off. See ya. And he just like logs off. So it's like, you could just jump in like and play this small role in anybody's game. And I really find that cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
So you can just like hang out even if you don't have time to play. Now, I don't know if that means that you're going to have, like, how does that work? Is there an app that you can get for your tablet and log in? I'm so curious about this.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. So The Division, definitely cool. Looking forward to learning more about that. Now, on to PS4, Rick. Sorry for my extended...
No, that's okay. That's okay, because that's stuff that I didn't get to see a whole lot of. I really basically watched the Xbox presentation as it was recorded the 2.5 hours on my Xbox.
Okay.
Like, you know, I logged in and got to watch it, and then I watched the presentation that was on at 9:30 or whatever for the PlayStation and for the PS4, and pretty much those games started off with a game called The Order.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the game looked killer, like as in the idea and whatever of the game. I wasn't familiar with it. I don't know if it's new. I don't know if it's old. I don't know what it is, but it intrigued me. It interested me, except for the fact that it looked a little similar in quality to current games. And I thought that was a little strange for being the first game they show in comparison to the Xbox presentation where you've got the Metal Gear Solid 5 and it's like this brand new gigantic thing, and PS4 didn't really follow through with that initial boom.
Yeah, The Order 1866, I don't know if that was, I think the subtitle was 1866. I don't know, that might have just been the name of the game studio. Yeah, I was more impressed by the style of that than the graphical oomph. Brian, you did see that one, did you not?
You guys know me in graphics, man. I can't say it looked bad, because I thought the new stuff still looks great.
Yeah, I'm definitely not one that goes for graphics, but I know there's a lot of people out there who are, they like to wave it like a flag, like, look at me and look at my fanboy status graphics. I mean, graphics, I play fucking Minecraft and Terraria, so I'm graphics do not woo or wow me. I just, in contrast to the Xbox presentation, I thought it was a weird offering to not show something that was hardware cutting edge.
I can definitely see things from that perspective, Rick.
But the game itself, very interesting. I would want to play it.
The concept, or what I grasped of the concept, was something I wanted to talk to Brian about. Did you recall having seen that during the presentation, Brian, or
the what,
the game called The Order 1866? Yeah. Okay. They started it off with like a quote about from like the King Arthur legend or something like that, right?
Le Mort d'Arthur.
Le Mort d'Arthur. and one of the characters' name was Galahad. Yeah, right. And my impression, and I'd like to know if you share it, is that this was kind of a steampunky Arthurian story going on. Does that make some kind
Pretty
of sense?
Pretty safe to say.
Yeah, that's intriguing to me. Because it showed like zeppelins in the air, and they had guns, and yet it seemed kind of realmy at the same time. I guess that is sort of steampunk, right?
There was a cool mashup. I don't know if it's like steampunk proper, but it definitely had those kind of mix matchy elements.
Yeah,
that also make up a steampunk style. So
did you say Close no, enough. Not really? Did you say no, not really, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it had that aesthetic, but it wouldn't be purely qualified as steampunk, right?
It'll get called steampunk.
Okay.
Let's say Mom and Aunt Mildred will call it steampunk. Did you want me to get you that steampunk Nintendo tape for your birthday?
Exactly.
give me the magi steampunk Arthurian game called The Order 1866. Thanks, Aunt Mildred.
The next one they showed was Drive Club, which we already touched base on, so I think we can skip that. It fails in comparison to most other driving offers, I thought.
But don't forget Killzone Shadowfall.
Oh, which... yeah, I did forget about that, because that was just a new version of an old game, so I just ignored it.
But I'm into Killzone. It's an exclusive shooter series, and that does look good. They didn't really get...
Worth mentioning. Pushed. Worth mentioning, yeah. Then.
Yep. Infamous, Second Son.
My notes, meh.
Everyone loved Infamous. I never really got into it. It was
I couldn't decide whether he wanted to be the Human Torch or that guy that shoots fireballs from the X-Men. I just did not like the game. I don't know why.
I never played, and I believe Infamous is a PlayStation exclusive series, is it not? I believe it is, which tells you how much I know about it. When the original Infamous came out, it looked really cool, and I know they did a sequel, and now this is, what, the third game in the series, if I'm not mistaken. It looked all right. I might give it a shot if I don't have to play the other games first, because I don't really feel like backtracking.
Yeah, and that's another one that I've marked, that the graphics look similar to current gen games.
Yeah, there's going to be that, I think, transition period. Like, if you look at early Xbox 360 games and even PS3 games, they weren't mind-blowing compared to the previous generation. It took a little while for them to hit their full stride. It just seems like, on Microsoft's side, they're hitting that stride sooner. So I don't know. I won't say that the graphics looked, they didn't look bad, but they weren't as mind blowing as some of the stuff on the
right.
On
and the again, Xbox this one. Isn't normally something I would bitch about, or and not that I'm bitching about it, but it's like I wouldn't even point it out except for the fact that it's E3 and a new system. So why wouldn't you pull out the best of the best of the best?
Maybe that's all they had, you know. They had good, but not the best of the best of the best, perhaps.
Yeah.
What did you think about Knack? It was some kind of cartoony action game. See, these first few were games that they had already announced, so they didn't spend a lot of time on them.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably have known more about them than we did by the time we watched that.
Normally would go for games like that. That one didn't get me.
Yeah. Seemed like they were going for kind of like a not so serious, like Ratchet and Clanky kind of vibe with that, you think?
Seemed to be, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of something that looked looked amazing, and even after the reveal, which proved that it wasn't what we thought it was initially, it still looked graphically like, wow.
God, that broke my heart.
Yes. Go ahead, Brian.
Mad Max?
Oh, which... I thought...
Wait.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Continue.
Mad Max, which I thought was, I was really like hoping was going to be Fallout 4.
Yeah. I knew it was Mad Max the minute they showed that first guy. I even typed it to Tom. I'm like, Mad Max with a bunch of question marks. Because to me, that's such an old movie and stuff. It's like, why the hell would they be making a game for that on a new system in 2014? But
yeah, I kind of don't know where that came from either.
It excited me.
Maybe to introduce a new audience. Seeing him in his like patrolman leathers like looked really cool. And then when I knew for sure what it was when they panned up and showed the Interceptor, like that car so iconic. I'm like, oh, definitely, no question. But Brian, your moment of heartbreak was when you realized that it wasn't Fallout, right?
Yeah.
What made you think it was just the kind of aesthetic made you think, oh, Fallout, like right away? Or
yeah, I was going through a list earlier of all the like the perennials that need to be updated, and Fallout was on the list. And I saw the, you know, the wasteland and the guy on the ground actually looked rather like a Fallout punk armor set. You know how they kind of have that, like,
oh yeah.
So I was really hoping.
That tells you how influential Mad Max is, though, that you see that aesthetic come through in later properties, later works, I should say. Well, here's hoping. I'm sure we'll see a new installment on both platforms.
So is that Mad Max game a PS4 exclusive or no?
I don't think so. I think other than the ones that we already went over, not many of these
are. Yeah, because that was towards the end, so I was assuming it was a multi-platform.
Except for this one, this thing I'm going to mention, which might be a game, but is what I was getting at when I was talking about something that looked mind-blowingly good.
I know what you're talking about, and I'm still confused by it, but go ahead.
The Dark Sorcerer. The Dark Sorcerer starts off with this, like, you know, this mage, like, standing up at a table and going on this rant and casting spells and calling on demons and spirits and all this to help him. It goes on and on and on for, like, 2 minutes of him just, like, building up and building up and building up. And Rick, during that, cut, you know, and suddenly you see that it was just like he was on stage, like doing a thing, and the little goblin standing next to him is just an actor too. But Rick, you actually asked me, is that a guy? Or wasn't that you?
I'm like, is that guy real or fake? because I couldn't tell, man.
Okay, okay. And that is what kind of boggled my mind a little bit. Why would you pick then to show, like, the, like, the uncanny graphics? You know what I mean?
So, okay, was it graphics or was it real?
It was graphics.
That was their whole facial expression in
right,
it, that
right.
they were talking about. Yeah. They had to lay it on thick for that.
I mean, it was fucking impressive, man. And, like, I'm watching it, and I'm looking at it. I mean, they said it was a trailer, so I was, like, partway through, I'm like, maybe this isn't a game. Maybe it's just a showcase to show the expressions and stuff, which made sense because the guy was really acting. And then when they cut and you saw what looked to be real scenery, but the guy still kind of looked like graphics, but still kind of looked real, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? This is the best graphics I've ever seen in my whole life.
Okay, good, good. So there
Glad
we have it.
Glad you're on board.
They may not have been showcasing cutting edge graphic. That's what it's a. They didn't showcase cutting edge graphics in a lot of the games we saw, but they chose this weird tech demo to showcase right. like what the system could do. And that gave me hope for the PS4 being a real juggernaut, because that looked really good. Even the little goblin guy standing next to him was like, that thing could exist. Like, that really looks good.
Yeah, the whole thing was cool. I mean, I was disappointed that it wasn't a game, because I'm like, holy shit. You guys, I don't really normally like that kind of stuff, but it was so done so well. I was like, holy shit, this looks cool. I think I'm going to play this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it zaps out, and I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a second. And I just kept wait a seconding myself. I'm like, is that guy real? Is that guy fake? I can't. Is that scene real? Those look like real green. What the fuck is going on right now? It was awesome. It was as exciting as a moment as when I saw Titanfall. I mean, it was equally mind blowing. So.
Thank you. I agree. That was, at least from a, just an eye candy perspective, as gratifying. So, like, that was their equivalent. It's just weird that it didn't come in a game. It came in some kind of a whatever that was.
To me, it was the highlight of the presentation, without a doubt. I know we're still talking about the games and stuff, but one of the things, you know, I'll get into it after we do the games. I'll do it right before we wrap. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Apart from that, then we kind of got into, I think the indie.
Yeah, we had Transistor. Oh. By the guys from Bastion, which
that looked cool.
To me, looked like it should have been a $10 XBLA game. So,
well, sure. it might be a $10 Sony BLA game. You don't know,
right? Then there was the rest of the indie offerings, which I thought it was cool that they had each individual guy there presenting and playing his own game in front of the screen, and they lit them up one by one. I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah,
really showy, and I liked it.
He said something to one of the developers, like, these guys called us and thought they wouldn't call him back. Well, just to prove how serious we are, I've got him on stage, and they showed right. like that. That was really cool of them to showcase these guys.
I did think that was awesome.
Also, sending the dev kit to the students at the DePaul grads or whatever, you know, at that school, and then that was awesome. Like, sending them dev kits, like, in the past, companies are so stingy, like, especially Nintendo, they're so stingy with the dev kits, they only let certain people have them. It was really cool of Sony to reach out like that.
Yeah, and that kind of points back to that whole thing we were talking about before with, you know, maybe it's going to be the new experimental platform.
I would be very happy with that.
Yeah, especially if they bring such cutting edge and never heard of games as Diablo 3 into the mix. I played Diablo.
He was saying it really weird. Diablo.
Diablo. Yeah, Diablo 3. You know, I played Diablo 3 like 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm kind of over it. And it's great that if I buy it on the PS3, I get, like, God of War, like, drop items, but I don't care.
Yeah, I think that was a little weird. But it was still better than the sports talk that completely fell flat.
embarrassing. I was going to skip over that, but... Yeah, LeBron, like, talked to LeBron, and then, like, it showed LeBron playing basketball, but then CG LeBron, like, landed and opened his mouth really, like, an unnatural width, like, nah, like a mannequin, like, like, I don't know, like a puppet whose mouth fell open.
Yeah, that was weird. And then, like, the host himself, it was just so awkward. That guy's never participated or watched a sport in his entire life. It was obvious. Yeah. And the crowd just sat there silent. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Sony definitely were not, they were not, well, they don't have the EA, I guess, agreement or something. So is that correct? Is that why we only saw the 2K sports?
Yeah, very, I don't know.
I don't know crap about sports games, so I'm not sure. I just know 2K and EA are competitors on that front.
And I know, yeah, and on the initial release of the Xbox One information a couple weeks ago, they showcased EA Sports being a partner kind of thing, so maybe it's exclusive for a little bit. Not sure.
Yeah, yeah, I'm curious. We could research that. Final Fantasy 15, hell yeah. I would love it if Sony got it as an exclusive, but I doubt that's going to happen.
That looked cool.
Yeah, that looked pretty badass. Although it might be a little more movie than Final Fantasy again, which I know is a complaint Brian and I share, but I'm kind of resigned to the fact that we're going to get Final Fantasy movies from here on out. Unlike Kingdom Hearts, which is a bona fide game.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like we're going to be getting a, what is that, like a remake of the original, it looked like, or a whole
new game?
It said three. Oh, was it Kingdom Hearts 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's awesome then. Happy about that. And Final Fantasy 14, the once and future MMORPG, is going to resurface. At least it's going to be on PC and then on console on both the PS3 and the PS4. I dragged Brian and Grant into playing Final Fantasy 11, the previous Final Fantasy MMORPG, with me, and have never lived that down. So hopefully I can repeat history.
Never will.
We had fun for like a little while until it got hard. So gameplay, I think we can segue into now.
Well, didn't that the last big mind-blowing game, Destiny?
Oh,
is that what you were getting at or no?
Well, Destiny, I believe, is cross-platform as well, right? That was from Bungie and Activision. And it's, I think that's another MMO, like it's like Halo MMO, MMO Halo.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to be, quote unquote, the new Halo or the Halo killer or the Sony version of Halo, at least style. But I got to say, dude, that game looks badass graphically, game idea, design, gameplay, everything. And I loved the demo. The way they presented the demo for that game was very much how you would play with your friends. Like, it felt like you were watching your friends play. And I thought that was huge.
Yeah. At first, I love that
public event.
I do too.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian. Continue. Public event. Yes.
I don't know about Rick's experience from MMOs, but Tom, I know, played with me when, like, people would drop everything to rush to these events just to take part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's become kind of mundane, but seeing that in what I equate to Borderlands, where you're just kind of like playing the same thing over with your friends, and all of a sudden something really happens, like something where other people can come in and contribute it. And I kept asking myself, what happens if they fail? Like, what happens if they don't take that down? What happens if they like lose this territory? Does that change the persistent world? Does that have an effect?
I hope so. I want a persistent, changeable world, man. I want them to lose to that spider creature or whatever the hell they were fighting.
That would be amazing cloud usage.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was thinking when I was watching it. And I just kept saying, I was like, please let this be multi-platform because I want to play this freaking game.
Yeah, it looked cool. And I think the only thing I could put in the negative column as it relates to the PlayStation 4 platform is I don't think it's exclusive. It continued the trend of Sony showing, I think, a lot of things that were cross-platform. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. I want it to be an exclusive Sony title, but I don't think it is.
I don't know, man. It's so hard to know because, I mean, we did the show 2 minutes after the thing ended, so it's not like we had time to do any research.
That's true.
We're wrong, send us an email, send us a comment, something. We want to hear from everybody.
Yeah, my instinct is it's cross-plat, but I hope I'm wrong. And yeah, please, we welcome any and all feedback. We want to talk to you about this. We're totally geeking out about it, and we want to do it with you, our loyal listeners. Or new listeners drawn in by our prediction of the new Xbox One peripheral.
I really want to say, I can't quite remember. Maybe I just dreamt this. Didn't we call the tablet integration?
Yeah, we did. Yes. We said it was going to happen more than just the smart glass and or Wii U. So, yeah.
Man, what don't we call? So speaking of cross-platform, they showed actual game footage. Now, they got a little flack because during their showing of especially Assassin's Creed, and I think maybe a little bit during Watch Dogs as well.
Yeah.
There was some cutting out, some kind of slowing, some loading, whatever was going on that made it kind of herky-jerky. And people, like, you know, I was on chat with and texting with and everything all day, were like, oh, God, this is terrible. They shouldn't do that. Well, I think Sony was a little less shy about hanging it out there and showing people on stage playing games. I know you said Microsoft did it somewhat, and I don't recall exactly how much, but...
They did, but not as much. Right. Definitely not as much.
Sony were a lot more daring when it came to that. And
now, correct me. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. You weren't.
No, talking. No. Please. Go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but those were all Ubisoft games, weren't they? So maybe it's just like a developer having some problems.
Right. Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed were both Ubisoft games. Correct. And
I didn't see anything else lag that badly.
Yeah, it might have just been. Well, you know, the French, they're very relaxed about. about getting things done. Oh, we will fix these problems later. I can't do a French accent. Yeah, you could blame it on Ubisoft. It could have just been the builds that they had there for display, you know. But I don't. People were faulting Sony, and I just the point I wanted to make is I don't think that was fair because at least they showed extended periods of people playing the games.
Right.
And you might be right, Brian, about it being a Ubisoft specific thing because when we were watching. The Destiny live play, that didn't happen at all, did it?
Nope.
Interesting point. Impressions on Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed?
The idea of Assassin's Creed, the one where they went back in time and like fought George Washington or whatever, that one really intrigued me. I've been wanting to get that. And this one as pirates, I think it looks badass. The whole idea of the game, everything. Super excited for that game.
Did you just say that they went back in time and fought George Washington?
You know what I mean. He went back to like Civil War times.
Right? You're going down.
Was
Washington.
It Civil War? Or did he go back to Washington? Or
I Revolutionary.
It was Revolutionary War, but him fighting George Washington is awesome. Yeah, so...
Leave me alone.
I was telling Tom this, though. I'm a little disappointed by that. I really wanted Rockstar to do, like, ooh, the big pirate game.
Yeah, so Assassin's Creed Black Flag is an MMO... Oh, God, I'm sorry, not an MMO. It is an open-world Assassin's Creed pirate game, from what Ubisoft were saying during their presentation. And, right, Brian... Continue your point because it's a good one.
I wanted a Red Dead Redemption for pirates.
For
Tuga Bay Redemption.
Tuga Bay Redemption, dude, that would have been kick ass. Who knows? Maybe now we'll get it because this whole pirate thing is going to take off.
That's what I was thinking. If this does well, maybe the guys who have perfected that type of game are going to be like, oh hell no, we're not going to let these guys steal our thunder, and then roll in with exactly what you're after. Another, you heard it here first from the Nerd Extravaganza podcast. Well done, Brian. And I think Brian is responsible for a lot of these. Now that I think about it, his mind looks forward and back.
Okay, Watch Dogs.
Yeah, Watch
I was
Dogs.
I was disappointed with the beginning of the demo. I was like, wow, there's a lot of driving in this game for a hacker game. And then once they stopped driving, I got super excited.
It seems like a pretty multi-mode, like another like kind of open world sandbox game. Yep. My nickname for this game is Smartphone Warrior. I don't know what app this guy has on his phone, but holy shit. How did that ever pass muster with the people that allow you to publish games on the App Store?
It's jailbroken.
Yeah, he must be jailbroken because Apple... I'm pretty sure he's using an iPhone and Apple never would have let that shit fly. Dude, what?
It's so funny because I was thinking the exact same thing.
Hang on, I only got 3 bars of signal. I can't lift that drawbridge from here. Let me get a better signal. Okay, here we go.
You know, maybe it's just a utopian society where everything is hackable. And because, dude, he's like, okay, hacking into signs to make the signs move. It was just like some of the stuff that he was able to access. Okay, dude, he hacked into a mini Moog and made music play.
Yes, he did.
Come on.
Well, so they're definitely playing at, there's this future that's imagined by some futurist. I think I even read one of Michio Kaku's books one time where he was talking about this concept of ubiquitous computing, where like everything is going to have a computer in it or right. be computerized. I think that's the future they're sort of envisioning here.
Yeah, it's fun to shit on, but I definitely, I liked it. Like, it was intriguing for sure.
It's cool. And the scenario they show where he was sort of helping his buddy out of a tight spot by hacking a synth and some cameras.
Right.
was awesome. During Ubisoft presentation, there was another scenario where it was more recorded footage, but it showed the guy taking down he went into this place where this guy was like running a prostitution or a human trafficking ring with like these, you know, women he was selling as prostitutes or whatever. And he brought that guy down. And like the result was him walking away like, nobody can hide from me. And it shows the cops hauling the human trafficker off to jail and stuff. So
nice.
I think this is one of those games where you're going to have like an open world, tons of like quests and missions to do. So I don't know. It definitely looks intriguing. Wouldn't mind checking it out.
Yes.
Let's see.
I can't believe you have like, what, 6 months to wait? It seems so close to me.
Yeah, me too.
You mean like now that we've seen this, we're ready to like start playing right now?
Well, it seems like it's way sooner than normal. Like normally we hear about stuff a year or a year and a half, 18 months in advance. I mean, shit's coming out in November.
I took that opposite of what Brian meant. Yeah. So it'll be here before you know it. In other words, yeah. So, I mean, what we were seeing, I guess, is pretty close to being shippable, right? And I mean,
yeah,
6 months out, I'm not sure about how rapid game development cycles are, but
God, well, that's you know, they'll ship the empty disc and it'll be like a 9-hour upload.
Yeah, isn't PS4 or isn't PS3 famous for that?
I'm hoping that with their improved subscription plans, they're going to be rolling out a better network, because yeah, their downloads have been just rubbish for a long time. But of course, the justification was, well, it's free, you're not paying. That's going to be changing. So they need to, hopefully they're going to step it up.
Okay, now we have to talk about the big kaboom.
I can't believe Sega announced the Dreamcast 2.
Well, yeah, let's get into some kabooms here. Oh, one last thing, Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh yeah.
But you get an exclusive early beta, and that's it for the PS4. So big deal. Brian, no on the Elder Scrolls Online as a concept?
I don't know. That bothers me for some reason. I can't put my finger on it. It's always just been such a lonely game that it doesn't seem like Elder Scrolls anymore at all.
Yeah.
You know, when I first started playing any of the Elder Scrolls games, especially actually when I played the most recent one, Skyrim, I was like, man, I wish my friends could come into my house and see all my cool stuff. But the loneliness adds something to it. Like, it's you against the world, you know?
It's almost like you're a unique hero.
Yeah, actually, it's very much like that. And it really it makes you value your NPC relationships a little more, right? Like, when you go to your, like, friendly lodge, you're like, my friends. Like, yeah, I think online with like seven other like dragonborns running around, or 700 I should say, that's not going to be quite as special.
Mammoths flying everywhere.
Exactly. So sorry, yeah, we've got some big booms to roll out. One last big boom, PlayStation Plus is now going to be necessary to play online. There are going to be a lot of free features, but you're going to need a Plus account now so they're kind of going the Xbox Gold route with that.
And then a change to Xbox Gold, there's no more Microsoft points.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Great. This is.
Weren't they supposed to do that like a year ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Are we believing him this time?
No, and here, and if you remember, when I predicted it before, I said because everything on Windows apps, Windows 8 apps, you have to pay real money for. So they're going to integrate. Telling you, dude, I'm not just backpedaling. I'm backtracking.
Unified store. You're not wrong here, Rick. I think you're definitely correct. Or you're most likely correct. Yeah, that's a good observation, man.
I really would be sad to see the XNA development go away. It has to stay alive in some way, shape, or form. I'm such a huge fan of it. It's one of the things that has endeared my Xbox Live to me.
Well, let's wait and see. I mean, it's easy right now to bash based on what they've said, but Microsoft are not stupid. They're not going to they're not going to see like public opinion swaying Sony's way and then just sit there with their thumbs up their butt and do nothing, right. I assume, you know? Apart from that, let's go over other differences in the online services. So now Xbox Gold kind of takes on the family, some of the attributes of what is now the family plan, I guess, so that multiple people can kind of share in the same house, can kind of share an Xbox Gold account as far as getting online to play.
Mm-hmm.
that's kind of cool. I think they're going to start with Xbox Gold. They're going to start doing something that PSN has done for a while, which they're going to start giving you some like free games.
Is only going to be until the launch of the Xbox One.
Right. Right.
Then it's going to go away. But yeah, it's a nice thank you.
Yeah. Cool nod to existing users, and who knows, they may end up doing something like that next gen too, if it proves popular.
And they're decent titles. I mean, a Halo game and Assassin's Creed 2 are the first two offers. Washington. Is that the one where I can fight George Washington? Because no. That means I'll get it for free.
It's cool, and I think if it's well received, we might see it continue because Sony. So on Sony side, on the PS4. If you're a subscriber, I think I don't remember if it was you're an early buyer or if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, but you're going to get some of those indie games. You're going to get like four of those for free for the first few months of the system's life cycle. So nice. I like giving away free stuff. That's cool. So in addition, I'll say that. I'm going to have to edit that because that.
No editing. It's a no-edit podcast.
Is it? That Skype... Oh, shoot. Well, then, forget it. That Skype message messed me up, but tune out, audience, if it bothers you. Let's get into the real bombshell stuff. Facebook and Skype... No, I'm just kidding. all right. Let's get into Sony's digs. No online authentication needed. No 24-hour kill switch on your system. And most of all, a price that's $100 less.
Me and Tom were saying it as we're watching the presentation. I, back a few episodes ago, had price guessed $499 for the Xbox One, and I was correct. And Tom kept like rallying for this $399 for Xbox. I'm like, there's no fucking way it's ever going to happen.
For PS4, you mean, yeah?
Yeah, for PS4. Yeah. And as the presentation's going on, like, it was counting down. We're like, all right, they're going to be talking about the price any minute now. And we started hearing the digs, and I started typing to Tom on chat, and he's just like, dude, it's $399. I'm like, dude, if it's $399, that's going to be the knife between the connection issues, the used game ambiguity.
Yes.
This $399 is the fucking nail in the coffin, and then lo and behold, they announce it as $399, and I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, no way this really happened. Yep. Isn't that the price of their current system?
I think it might be down to like $299 now, but yeah, it's pretty comparable. So, in your face, Microsoft.
I gotta say, that isn't in your face, Microsoft. I hate to fucking say it, but I have no choice.
That's a pretty big price discrepancy for what... Now, so I want to say for what will be comparable systems, but don't forget, you also get a motion control gimmick with the with the Kinect and the, you know, with the Xbox One that you don't get.
I can't even edit out my snort. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there's a perceived value add that comes with the Kinect, you know, and that's one thing. You didn't see Sony demoing their glowing ice cream cones or anything like that.
Right.
With this system, they were strictly like, here's our controller. It's neat. It lights up. Now let's talk about games. No doing, you know, jumping jacks and cartwheels to get your characters to do stuff. Nothing like that.
They didn't introduce any new emotions.
Yes.
They didn't take control of my living room.
I mean, the only way they could have one-upped the Xbox One's awesome new gesture system on, you know, would be to have you do like shadow puppets or something on the PS4.
Kabuki controller.
It's fucking, get a charades app.
If you buy the Little Big Planet bundle, you get like five sock puppets for your hands, and the PS1 responds to them differently.
Wow.
No, no motion controls. So I'm sure there's a little cost component involved in that. Seriously.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's so steep.
Well, plus also, let me justify the price of the Xbox One a little more for you. They also used four times the plastic in manufacturing the Xbox One.
Dude, the new PS4 isn't that much better. The PS4 is not that much better looking than the Xbox One.
I won't say better looking, but it doesn't look like it has its own area code.
That's true.
I don't mean to bash the Xbox One. I'm excited about both systems.
I know. I am. You know, for the first time in a long time, I am too. I really am. I was pleasantly surprised after watching the Sony presentation. And I'm getting such a different feel from that company than I was with the PS3. I'm feeling that PS2 love again.
Well, that's by design. With the PS3, Sony had been big kid on the block, and they had all that, you know, they came in all conceited. What was their quote, Brian? Like telling people they needed to go find second jobs to afford the PS3 or something like that?
Yeah. It was, hey, isn't that price tag a little high? And like, no, if they really want it, they'll get a second job.
Yeah, and they're even going so far as to say, I think the head of the big boss in Japan was like, it should cost more. We're giving you guys like a hell of a deal. They were just very arrogant going into the last generation, and they're a lot more humble now. And Microsoft, I won't say they're arrogant, but they're definitely, you can tell that they're the dominant force right now.
I'm really feeling it, man. As somebody who doesn't pay attention to all that stuff, I just go by my natural vibe, and I feel it. I feel like they've flip-flopped. And after watching the two presentations, I mean, I love the Microsoft presentation. I loved all the games. I thought that they were a little bit too stuffy. And then, you know, I'm used to getting that from Sony, so I almost didn't even want to watch the presentation. But upon watching it, I was like, wow, it's not just this side of the air vibe I'm getting. Like watching it, it started to sink in. I'm like, I think the tables are turning, man. It's weird.
I had a feeling it might go that way if it were played right by Sony, and I think they did. They're definitely a lot more receptive to being, you know, to giving the public what it wants.
Yeah.
I think it was like the second thing they said. Our system is about games. Isn't that what you want?
That was like their second sentence in. Like, and then, yeah, they did say that almost right up front, didn't they, Brian?
Yeah, and I think that shows like they get it. I'm really excited about all the possibilities that, you know, the Kinect and the voice control and will do for my home. But I want to play cool games.
But the thing is I would totally – I've been arguing with PS4 fanboys for like the last 3 weeks about that exact type of comment. And the thing is, I would back that up. I mean, I'm first one to say, you're right. This checking in stuff is bullshit. This ambiguous answers about used games, complete bullshit. But Xbox is offering equal, if not better, delivery on the game side as PS4. So it's not like you're getting all this home entertainment stuff in lieu of great gaming.
We will see. It wasn't so much showcased, but there's a lot of rumor about the machine and about the performance, and I think it's suffering.
Well, I'm sure it's going to run way too hot, and the first three batches are going to burn up and burn people's houses down. But once that's all done and they got the slim version, I'll gladly buy one.
Once the lawsuits are settled,
I'll probably buy one too. But...
I'm going to tell you right now, I am not buying one until I cannot connect my Xbox 360 anymore.
What about a PS4?
Even still, probably still not until my Xbox is. I will not buy first gen, next gen ever. Because they've always had problems, and the slim models are always better looking. So
that answers the question, the round of questioning I wanted to sort of wrap things up with. So you are definitely not a first gen adopter of either system right now, right, Rick?
Definitely not. I love the ideas, but I'm going just by my old man wisdom and knowledge. I've been in this game since fucking Odyssey. I'm not being fooled.
Any chance that you could maybe pick up a PS3 on the cheap?
If it's going to be around for a while, probably, but it would have to be really cheap.
I'm thinking it'll be around as long as the 360 or thereabouts.
Because there's some games that I've been wanting to check out, and I am starting to feel like, you know, I like a lot of these games that end up at the end of your storyline. It's a multiplayer online type of game, which I won't get into that part of it as much, but it seems I've done my research and it's looking like Sony has a lot more offerings for the non-multiplayer gamer, and that really is something that will get my attention. So there's a good chance a PS3 may be in my future, as well as a 4.
Cool. But launch day, neither system, right?
Neither.
Okay. Brian, launch day, PS4, Xbox One, don't know for sure.
I will probably reserve a PlayStation 4 tomorrow.
Very nice. So you're...
Wow, really?
I'm pretty excited about it, yeah.
It does look very promising. It does look very promising. So, wow, that's cool. So Sony did their job. They hooked you in. Main rationale, the price point, or the price point and the business practices that Microsoft have seemed to...
The business practices, like I said, I think Sony gets what a gamer is.
Okay.
I think Microsoft is, you know, trying to make money. I think Sony's trying to make games.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like I said a million times, it really seems like Xbox or Microsoft is where Sony was during the PS3 launch and vice versa.
Yeah.
Very well put then. You made your point. Cool. So PS4 it is for Brian. So far, PS4, there's one notch in the PS1 column, no notches in the Xbox One column.
What about for you?
While I was watching E3 coverage all day, I was obsessively refreshing the Amazon pages for both consoles, and I'm getting both on launch day.
I don't even know what to say.
It's a done deal, my man. Don't say anything. My credit report will say all that needs to be said. No, just kidding. Yeah, I double down. I'm in on both.
Is Project Spark a game day or a release date game?
I don't recall. In fact, I don't remember making much note of what would be release titles and what would not during the Xbox One presentation. I know Project Spark is entering beta, and they have beta sign up, by the way. You should go try to check that out. But as to whether it's a launch title or not, I don't know.
That might sway me, but I don't know, man. It would have to be, like, if I go to your house and I play it, then I'll probably go home and buy one. But but as far as other than that, I just can't adopt a new system because I feel like I'm going to be working with half a system. Like, I want I want a shit ton of games to choose from before I get a system. I don't know. I don't know. If I tell you what, if they can make my XBLA games work on Xbox One, I'd buy it right away.
I believe that's a no-go, though, isn't it?
No, it's definitely a no-go. So that's, I'm just saying, if a sweet miracle from hell came about.
Let's get this episode out there with Brian's peripheral idea, and we'll see about that. We have we tend to be agents of change here on the Nerdstravaganza podcast. So yeah, I'm getting both systems, guys.
Actually, I ordered six of each. I'm going to be selling them on eBay. And
you didn't think I bought them so I could play them, did you? No.
My eBay name is Fat Scooter Fat Driver Tony. At Disney.org.
My name's Sorcerer of the Magic Kingdoms, Hoarder at Yahoo.com.
Fat Disney Hoarder at eBay.net.
My name's I'm the Reason You Can't Find Any Pins for Your Kid at Disney World at Yahoo.net. Com, whatever.
All right, so final wrap-up. I give both presentations thumbs up, both for different reasons. I give both systems thumbs up for all the right reasons. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this gen, so much so that I've gotten both systems and I'm looking forward. I'm happy to be a gamer again.
Nice. What about you, Bri?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think the competition's going to be good.
Yeah. I think
I have my favorite, but I think other people having other favorites will be good for everybody.
Yep, I agree. Dude, that's the perfect way to say it. I feel like this whole, like, almost a switching of the guards or the flipping of the attitudes, whatever you want to call it, it's going to do nothing but make us as gamers benefit. We are going to reap all the awesomeness of these two companies fighting it out for somebody trying to get on top and the other one trying to remain on top. And it's going to be fucking awesome.
God, I hope you're right. I hope we're back to system wars like we had.
That's what it feels like.
Oh man, I want to get into like passionate arguments with people now, but I can play both sides, but it's still fun.
Yep.
Oh man. Okay. And so now let's move on to Wii. And that's that. I couldn't resist. I'm a Wii U owner and I couldn't resist.
Had to be done. Much like Flash, it's dead.
Exactly. Actually, it's much more likely to be dead than Flash. With that said, I think this episode's dead. Anything else, guys, before we adjourn? Guess we got time for proper housekeeping, then.
Let's do it.
Swing on over to the iTunes. I don't think you can do that on any consoles yet, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time before the Apple core console comes out, and then you can do that. But in the meantime, use your PC or iDevice or whatever to jump over to the iTunes, write us a favorable review, rate us 5 out of 5 stars, and absolutely positively write us a top... Wait, I already said write us a review. What did I miss? Oh, subscribe! We want you to subscribe to us. Since you're already going to subscribe to Xbox Live and the PSN whatever, subscribe to us. We're free. We don't charge anything.
And while you're at it, you can use that Xbox Live subscription to log on with your Internet Explorer browser on your Xbox 360 and head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com where you can download the show, rate the show, stream the show, send us an email, comment, all kinds of cool stuff.
And I think now is going to be a great time to join the group and like the page on Facebook. There are sure to be exciting comments in the next few days.
I'm beating the crap out of 2 PS4 fanboys right now.
It's happening left and right, baby.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to our crazy, frantic post E3 news show. This has been awesome, and we will see you next time.
Enjoy the no edit. Peace.